Well, what a wonderful way to open up a fellowship of the saints. God has designed life to grow. Whatever has life has ingrained in it this thing about growing. It just doesn't stay one thing, right? Now, sometimes I wish I could still be 5 years old and never grow older, huh? But I am grateful that I have the opportunity. Don't have a choice, huh? God's plugged into our nature, our DNA, whatever it is, that we grow. And as those who have made a decision to be sons of God, we have an opportunity to grow too. And that's what I want to share with you today, growing in God's Word. There's nothing more important in life than to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. It amazes me that there are experts in the world that have dedicated their lives to learn about one-cell protozoas. There are PhDs that's all they do. They know about these little animals. They're experts on it. And I admire their dedication and their commitment to learn and to know everything there is to know about this little one-celled animal. I remember, even as a teenager, before I got into the Word, it blew my mind. I read an article about a gentleman who lived in Costa Rica, and all he did was study turtles. And he lived amongst the turtles. And he was a turtle expert. And I thought, is this life, you know? Is this fulfillment to be a turtle expert? And it just got to me. I remember that. I don't know, of all things, when it comes to learning and growing. But I'm grateful when I was 20 years old, somebody opened the door for me to learn the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. I had a hunger. When I was 12 years old, I had the realization that what's the purpose of life? You know, as a young child, you don't think about these kind of things, do you? You just have fun and get in trouble and get reprimanded and then do the same thing over and over again. But at 12 years old, I woke up and I realized that I'm going to die someday. And what's the purpose of life? And I had a deep hunger to know if there was a God, if there was purpose in life, or was it just about living and dying and that's it? And that's why I'm very, very thankful. 8 years later, somebody helped me learn God's Word, where I got born again of God's Spirit. And very, very thankful and grateful for that. Nothing more important in life than growing in God's Word. I want you to go to Jeremiah, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 9. And while you go looking for that, I turn to the very first page in my Bible, before the text, before anything, because I wrote these two verses on the front page of my Bible. For some reason, these two verses, you know, caught my heart, and so I put them in the front of my Bible. And they're Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Oh man, we look around in the world today, that's what it's all about. Getting your PhD. Who can be the smartest? Who can be the richest? Next verse. But, in contrast, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Isn't that a fantastic verse? Wow. Phenomenal. Why is it important to grow in God's Word? It's the words of life. We learn about the author of life, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of our being. There's some wonderful quotes I'd like to share with you in light of the importance of growing and learning God's Word. And I bet most of these will be familiar to you. Spiritual weakness and inability can be due only to improper spiritual food or neglect of the Word of God. You remember that one? Man's basic spiritual problem is the integrity of God's Word. Is it really God's Word? Is the Bible really the words of our Creator? Another quote, our attitude toward the Word of God is the key to our spirituality. What's your attitude towards the Word of God? Is it more important than watching television? Do you watch more hours of TV than you do of praying, talking to the Father, getting into His Word? We have failed to walk in deliverance because the Word of God is not real to us. I think that's a biggie. I'm challenged with that. Because we are inundated with so much information, so much is going on that we just almost have to accept it. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to accept it. God's Word is bigger, greater, better than all of the words of men. Many rather read this and study the literature of the hour than the literature of eternity. For the word of man has preeminence over the word of God. That's a sad case for vast majority, even of Christians. Well, I'd like to share with you a simple formula for growing in God's Word. Very simple, very basic formula. And it's receive, retain, release. It works in all of life. To receive with meekness the engrafted word. We're going to look at that verse here in a moment. And to retain it with conviction because it is the faithful word. God is faithful. And then to release it with boldness because it's the words of life. You see how that works? We receive with meekness. We have a receptive heart to, yes, this is God's word. I respect it. And then we hold on to it with conviction because God says what He means and means what He says. So I'm going to hold on to it. But that's not the end of the story, is it? If I'm really going to grow and walk with God, I've got to release it. I've got to release it. And then it just keeps going around and around like that. Well, let's go to James, if you would, in your Bible. James chapter 1. And we'll look at this first aspect of growing in God's Word. So, James, Peter, John. Okay, here we are. James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now, I don't know how the King James came up with that word. Isn't that a wild superfluity of naughtiness? You better get rid of that. You know, these are just wicked thoughts, negative, bad thoughts. Get rid of those things. Lay them apart. And receive with meekness. Now, what's meekness? Humility. It's a receptivity. You know, in our times, if you're meek, you're a what? You're a mouse, right? Meek as a mouse. That's the world. They don't want you to be meek. And it's not saying that we have to be like mice to receive God's Word. We are meek because we see that God is bigger and better than anything else we could ever come up with. Man's word, anybody's word. God's word is greater. So I'll respect that. I'll lovingly receive that. So here it is. This is the first step in growing with God, is to receive with meekness the engrafted word. The engrafted word, or another translation is implanted word. That word is planted in you. We need to plant God's word in our hearts. And we do. We receive it with meekness. The farmer, he prepares the soil, doesn't he? He just turns it over. He turns it over, getting rid of all the stuff. He gets that plow, turns it over, and then it just sets up really nice. So the word can be sown in that ground and grow and grow. So we receive with meekness the engrafted and planted word, which is able to do what? Save your souls. Look at 1 Peter, if you would. James, Peter, 1 Peter, probably just a few pages over. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto who? He giveth grace unto the humble. There it is. All right, we've seen it twice. We're going to receive by being meek, being humble. Having that humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Why? That He may exalt you in due time. Wow. See, that's the first step. Let's put God first. Let's be reverent to Him. Let's have that meekness, that humility to receive to Him. Let's go to Him so that we can receive. Acts. The book of Acts here, verse 17. Acts 17, verse 11. In the early church, they were moving God's word in such a fantastic, tremendous way. And here, a great statement is said in verse 11 of chapter 17 in Acts. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. You know, this is Berea. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They had a receptivity to receive God's word and search the scriptures every Sunday. No, how often? Daily. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They made sure that it was the right word, that it fit. They were workmen of the word. They studied to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This word, readiness of mind, is a fantastic word study. It's translated eagerness, willingness. It has a sense of being passionate. You know how we need to get passionate about something? You know, Barney last week talked about passion, having a passion for God's word. Let's put God's word first. Let's have a passion for this. Let's get excited about God's word. Let's be thankful and excited about being sons of God. You know, there's people that wear a cheese hat and they're excited about their football team, right? Oh man, they're excited. I'm a cheese head. I'm a son of God with power. God is my heavenly Father. All right. That's my team, baby. Amen. Amen. But to get there, we have to have this readiness of mind. And it's this eagerness to receive. It's this excitement. This is passion. You're on fire for the Lord. Man, these guys, Berea, they were on fire to receive God's word. They checked it daily to make sure that it was the right stuff. It's a great word study. Check that out. Well, I'm done teaching. But we have two more segments to go, don't we? I have asked two young men to handle those segments today for you. And I've known these two young men since they were little guys. And I've seen them grow into young men. And it's been an exciting thing to watch because their parents know the Word and they brought them up with the Word. But you know what? They also had to make a decision that this is my Word. Yeah, Mommy and Daddy taught me this, but it's got to be my Word, doesn't it? You grow up and you got to make that decision. And they have. They have. So, to share on retaining God's Word with conviction because it's the faithful Word is our own Daniel Woods.
Start over. Very blessed to be here in front of you guys and share the greatness of God's Word with this very simple equation: receive, retain, and release. But I'm only going to do one of the second aspect of this formula, and that's retaining the Word, God's Word, with conviction. Okay, so once we have grown in God's Word, we have to hold on to it. We can't just let it go in one ear and out the other. So let's turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And in verse 9. It says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, why should we hold on to this word? Because it's a faithful word. God says what he means and he means what he says. He's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't lie in his word. And why should we hold on to it? Because this is the most valuable possession that we could ever have. Even if you find, if you decide to go digging, there's still gold here in San Diego, but it's not as great as this. Trust me. Oh. So we hold on to it with conviction. And what does that mean, to hold on to something with conviction? For example, if I say something like, Italian food is good. And I know it is. It's true. If someone else comes along and say, no, I like Mexican food better. It's way better than Italian food. I'm not gonna all of a sudden believe what that other person said. I retain that information, or it's probably an opinion more of, but I retain it with conviction. I don't let it go. I'm going to stick with my original opinion. So right now I wanted to take a look at a record about two gentlemen in God's Word who did retain the Word with conviction. And they were thrown in jail. They were beaten. Maybe they even came close to their own death. And those two gentlemen were Peter and John. So let's turn to Acts chapter 4, please. In Acts 4, we'll start in verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple And the Sadducees came upon them. Being grieved, they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. So here's what's happening so far. They're having a good time preaching the gospel until the Sadducees or the temple leaders, the officials, come up to them and say, here's what's going to happen. We're going to put you in jail till the next day. We'll see what happens. No more preaching the gospel. Verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000 men heard the word that day. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we say this day, be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. So, an impotent man, in this case, he was lame. Being impotent means you're not able to do what you want to do. So, anyways, they didn't listen to the Sadducees or the temple officials. They held their word, the word, with conviction. They didn't let it go. They didn't let it go one ear after the other. They held on to it, and you know, it obviously led to this miracle of healing this lame man. I think that's pretty amazing. Anyways, just to name a few other records, not just Peter, John, but Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Paul. I'm going to just tell the story of Paul. I'm not going to go on the record real quick, but Paul's just a great example because Paul, he wasn't a very nice guy when he first started. When he first started out, he wasn't nice at all. So, and then there was this man named Ananias. And God went up to Ananias. He said, Ananias, I want you to... I think it was on the road to Emmaus when Ananias was talking to God. God told Ananias, Ananias, I want you to go to this house. And in that house, there lives a man named Paul. Now, Ananias heard that Paul was not a very nice guy. But God said, go there anyway, and then start talking about my word. So he did. Ananias went up to Paul's house, and he knocked on the door. Hey, Paul, you in there? Paul, he goes in, and, I think Ananias is kind of not sure what's going to happen, because he knows Paul wasn't very nice when he started off. So anyways, they go in. Ananias goes into Paul's house. He starts talking about the word of God. Starts preaching the gospel. And then, so there he's receiving the word. Paul is. Later on it evolves to him being born again. So then, there were some situations where Paul actually, after he was born again, of course, he was preaching the gospel, and he was thrown in jail many times. But he's another great example who retained the word with conviction. And you know what? I don't know if you've ever came across a certain situation where someone has tried to talk you out of it, but Don't cave in automatically, because if something, for example, there's a takeover in the government, hopefully not, it's probably not going to happen, but if that happens, and you get an official knocking up on the door, hey, I'm sorry, but, or let me change that example. If they come up here to this door, Point Loma Assembly, and they knock on the door, and they come in and say, guys, you can't do this anymore. You're going to have to leave. You're going to have to go do something else. You can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ anymore. We don't budge. Don't cave in. Because take a look at Peter, John, Paul, all these guys. They didn't cave in. Because they know that God was going to deliver them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into a fire. The fire was touching their skin. They didn't have not even the smell of smoke. So by doing that, God's going to do great things for you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to heal you. He's going to do all that sorts of stuff. But once you retain the word with conviction, you have to release it and keep on sharing the gospel. All right, Bob, back to you.
Okay, great. That's right. We've got to release it with boldness. It's the words of life. And so to share this aspect with us, we have Ben Slade.
All right, Ben. Oh, it's on? Okay. Oh, yeah, I need to do that. If you feel like any shaking, it's just my nerves, so bear with me. All right. Everyone's right. Everyone who's come up today, they're all right. You know, it takes a lot of work. In the Old Testament, you see a lot of occurrences where, you know, you have all these disciples of God that went through some real stuff. You know, they really had to... They were tested in so many ways. They were thrown in prison. They were thrown into all kinds of stuff. But the one thing is they stuck with the Word of God. And that's what I'll be teaching on. So if you go to your Bibles in Philippians 2. And yeah, as a 20-year-old male in the world, it's pretty tough sometimes. You know, you move out of your parents' house. You have roommates that are not down with it. You pull out your Bible. They yell at you. But you know what? That doesn't stop me. You know, I'm going to keep talking about it, keep moving it. And I've seen the Word of God work so many different ways in my life. So if you look at Philippians 2:16, it says, "Hold forth the word of word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." And that's big. You know, I'm not doing this in vain. I'm doing this for a reason. And I'm going to look at this in three parts quickly. Holding forth, obviously, or holding it, not in vain, and rejoicing. I was going to go to Acts 4 and talk about some things, but we did that already, so I'm not going to. But I'll stick in the New Testament mainly. Isaiah 53. And it says in Isaiah 53:1-6, it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. Out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, a man of acquainted with grief." Oh, I'm sorry. "And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and esteemed him not, or we esteem him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was chastisement. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and his stripes were we are healed. By his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." There's times where we do go astray. You know, you start to sway. You go to different places. You go to different things. I've heard people say, you know, you go to a therapist or something for all your work. You know, honestly, I go to God, because that's a really big thing, because God has given us so much, like our Savior, for us to have a, you know, eternal life, something better. And that's another reason why I really hold on to this. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and God's going to work with you anyway, you know, be patient. Patience is one big thing, because when you pray for something, it might not happen like that, but God hears you, and He's always going to be there for you, and He's definitely going to work in your way. It could take a year before you get that job or any job or anything. It could take time, but He hears you, but it works in funny ways. So chapter 15, and it says in verse 12, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, now we say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And so is Christ not risen? It's a funny question. So let's go to verse 16. And it says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are not in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know, they're gone. If in this life also we have hope in Christ, we are all of men of most miserable. It's going to be pretty miserable if this is all in vain, but it's not. Because it says in 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's a fruit. Christ has been risen. This is not in vain. And it says that right there in this faithful. So, I mean, I believe it. And it says in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. And it's really great to know that what we're doing, everything, it's, we have a Savior. We have God on our side all the time, always. He's right there. And the most you're going to learn about God is through this book and reading it and moving the Word and holding on to it. And it says in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Pray to God, and He hears you, and give it all to God. Just give it to Him, and He will hear your word. He will hear your prayers, and He will answer them, and rejoice in it. And then 1 Thessalonians, yeah, I'm moving kind of quick. There's a lot in here. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it says in 16 through, or did I say, yeah? And it says in 16, verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not the prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Something funny about the word is really it's fellowshipping. It's being with other believers. It's trying your hardest. It's like if you're going to go out and, you know, get a house with some people, choose maybe some believers or something, because it's going to really help your fellowship with everything. I'll tell you that from personal experience. And, you know, what you're doing is not in vain, and always give it to God and love it. And that'll be all.
The purpose of the word is to live it. You know, live it. We learn it. We hold on to it, and we live it. We do it. We do pray to God. We hold it forth so others can enjoy what we have been so blessed with. Well, it's great to see growth, you know. We're all growing, and we want to continue to grow. We want to do what it takes in receiving, retaining, releasing. Maybe we need to check. How's my retaining going? How's my receiving going? How's my outreach going? And just work with yourself and the Heavenly Father. You got some more, Al? We'll let Al close out here.